Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So Volkswagen's coming out with a new bus, the Volkswagen bus, and I was asking Craig a little bit about it because he's my Volkswagen connection. I bought my 59 from him. I got a 59 VW Bug that I bought off of Craig. I got the engine tuned on it, huh? It's a 58. That's a 43-year-old engine in that thing. I got it tuned, and I got the fender fixed, and I got the tires inflated with air, and I got the ceiling of the roof fixed, and I got a new engine put in it. So thanks a lot, Craig, for selling that to me. And I'm kidding. It was in very good shape, and I have taken it back and forth to work a few times. Really loud. That four banger is noisy. Anyway, and you know, I got this Volkswagen. Okay, why? All right. I guess because it recaptures something for me. All right, I understand that. See, look, I know I'm old. I got it. I get it, man. I'm 49. I'm 49 September 1st. I'm not hiding from that. Stuff, you know, and there's certain things that make me feel good about my life, and I guess a lot of it has to do with, you know, things that I'm reminded of from my youth, so whatever. Hey, guess what? It's going to happen to you if you're lucky. If you're lucky, it's going to happen to you. So I got this Bug, and now I understand that Volkswagen's come out with a bus. You drive down the street in an old VW Bug, people are looking at you like you're driving down the street in a Model A. You might as well be going down the street in a freaking Tin Lizzy. Because, especially like this kid was over at our house, I don't know what he was doing, some work at our house. I guess he's about 19 or 20. He's looking at the thing like it's a Stutz Bearcat. Whoa! How old is that? 58, 59. 58, 59! Whoa! I mean, is it six banger or is it four banger? Four banger. Dude. You know. And I said, got the original engine. Original engine. Yeah, it's probably ready to drop a rod. Dude. And this cat. I mean, whoa. Dude. Whoa. Well, it's been nice talking to you. Yeah, you too. So, now they got the VW bus, and the VW bus, let me tell you something about the bus, the old VW buses, anybody that had one, you guys know what I'm talking about. These things were sweet. I mean, they had like a sink in them. They slept two or four, I don't know what, they had at least two bunk beds. They had a sink, they had the top that went up, the back gate that opened, the big huge back gate you could turn into a little tent. It was a camper. It was a Volkswagen camper is what it was. And I was telling the guys the story, and I said, I don't want to tell the story in the air. Mike said, go ahead, tell the story in the air. It's great stuff. And I don't know why. Why? Because you guys wish you could stand around hitchhiking for rides 500 miles away in the pouring rain? Okay, great. But this was what you would see pulling. You know, you used to see the Volkswagen bus going down the road, and you had a peace symbol on it or whatever. There was always some guy hanging over the wheel, and the wheel was like a bus wheel. You know, it was horizontal, it was flat to the floor. And so you'd always see some dude hanging over the wheel with the hair down to the middle of his ass and a beard, you know, just look, Jerry Garcia leaning over the wheel, you know. And then you're hitchhiking and you're there with like maybe 10, 12 other kids, depending upon how long you'd been at any individual stop. And we're all in varying degrees of looking the same. All the chicks had the long straight hair and all the guys had some kind of a fro or some long straight, Dwayne Allman hair with the beard, or if you could grow a beard. And in some cases, if you're, you know, just barely pubescent, it was sort of this patchy crap on your face and a few pimples. And here comes the bug, the van. It pulls over, and the gate slides open. And if you're in the front of the line, you know, the code of the road in those days was if you were at the front of the line, you got the ride first, and everybody had to wait. And everybody with their little signs would say L.A., San Francisco, wherever you're going, New York, Boston. And you get into this freaking thing, and there's all these other people crammed in. And now there's an old phrase you probably have heard. It's rather crude, and I always thought it was crude. Is gas, grass, or ass, everybody pays. Well, that was really not what people said in those days. Assholes said that. The regular people didn't say that. Regular people would simply say something like, or it would go something along the lines of,
I got some gas money if you need it.
Yeah, that'd be really, I mean, whatever you can do.
I figure I don't need the ride, but I could use the karma.
Yeah, whatever you can do. So I get into this van one day, and there's, I don't know how many kids in this thing, and I'm hitchhiking to San Francisco, I think, or I'm coming back, one of the two. And we stop in Morro Bay, And this guy's got this Volkswagen bug, this bus. And I'm not going to say anything other than the fact that there was some herb that seemed to have been lit spontaneously. I don't know who lit it, and I don't know how it found its way into my hands. And I don't know how the smoke found its way into my lungs. And so I'm kind of innocent. But in any event, I had this rice-a-roni. And I remember at the time the phrase right on had just started. Now, a few people know where the phrase right on came from. And I don't. And nobody uses that phrase anymore. I'm sure you've heard the phrase right on. Well, right on used to be an old British phrase. The old British gentleman would say, right on, sir, meaning good show. Well, during the Chicago 7 trial, when they rioted in Chicago, one of the attorneys was explaining the case to the press, and he said it's technically inciting a riot if you send a letter from Iowa into Illinois across state lines and you simply say right on, you are endorsing that man's riot, and so therefore you are helping to incite a riot, and so you have broken a federal law. Well, that phrase right on caught on, and everybody started saying right on. And the first time I heard it was we were in this campground with this group of girls and guys and this dude who is, and I'll get around to this guy in a minute, but somebody had made the rice-a-roni that I broke out, and I goes, man, this stuff is right on. And I, oh, thank you. Anyway, the guy who gave me the ride is in the back, and he's doing up Darvon. He's got his arm tied off. He's shooting up Darvon. And in between while he's shooting up, he's saying, anybody want to buy a fake ID? And I'm like, I got to get out of here. So that's when I was sitting with this young lady, and like I said, the smoke found its way into my lungs. And along came these three kids, probably from the inner city of Los Angeles, three kids who were up there camping out with a Christian youth group. And these kids had walked over, and they could smell the weed. And the kids going, man, I know what that is. Yeah, I know what that is. Yeah, you want some, man? No, man, not me. I put it down, man. I put it down. Well, you don't have to have none if you don't want. No, I put it down. Every day now, man, I take one gospel pill. That's what I take. I take a gospel pill, man. Just crap like that that you remember, you know? So I got out of there because this dude's doing up Darvon and some knucklehead is selling fake IDs. Some ass is walking down the road. Anybody want to buy acid? Some black guy walking down the road with his big staff going, who's got acid? Who's got dope? Little girl yells out, acid isn't dope. I think it was Bobby Dooley back in the day. But anyway, that Volkswagen bus, man. And fuel efficient and fun. It's just a 4-speed, I think. And now they're coming out with a new one. And Craig tells me that the new VW bus doesn't have the camper aspect. It's a more like a van, right? Microbus developed in the Volkswagen design studio in California. Volkswagen is showing the concept car Microbus as a world premiere at the North American International Auto Show. The bus of the future was designed in the Volkswagen Design Studio in Simi Valley, and the concept is oriented especially towards the American market. With its original design and numerous innovative ideas, the microbus harks back to a great tradition starting in 1950 with the first VW bus. The Volkswagen was successful worldwide and reached cult status, especially in the USA, with the name Microbus. This design study redefines this cult with an up-to-date expression of personality and freedom. Yeah, sure. We'll make that decision, not you guys there at the engineering department. Thank you very much. Don't tell us what it's going to do. We'll let you know. What the hell is going on outside, man? It sounds like there's an earthquake or something. Is it construction? 5-meter-long microbuses, Volkswagen design study for the U.S. market. With the background of the legendary first generation of VW buses, you know why they're legendary, don't you, Volkswagen? Because there's a whole lot of pot rosin, resin, or whatever the hell you want to call it. It's spoiled, R-E-S-I-N, yeah. All that oil is in the ceilings of those things. You could smoke the ceiling of a Volkswagen bus. With the background of the legendary first generation of VW buses, the design of which is even today as well-known and well-loved as that of the Beetle and the new Beetle, the designers didn't want to run the risk of merely copying the old bus style. No, God, no. Why go back to a classic style when you can screw it up? The aim was to create another Volkswagen original, which was to pay homage to a great history with its own independent visionary way. The innovative Californian design team has succeeded in doing just this. No decision has been made concerning putting the microbus into series production. What does that mean? They're not going to sell it? They haven't decided yet as to what they're going to do. Well, there you go. In the meantime, I'm still looking for a good used one. And I occasionally do see them. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Bud Dickman's weekly top 10 coming up today as well on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Did you hear that the Philadelphia Eagle cheerleaders are suing the NFL? Did I get that right, Mike? And I think the... Huh? 23... The Philadelphia Eagle cheerleaders are suing 23 National Football League teams. And I believe they're suing because somebody was peeking at them while they were changing. Is that right? Correct me if I'm wrong. And I'm probably wrong, because I would have... Didn't the New England Patriots do away with their cheerleaders after one of them sued the team when a running back, in the course of a play on the field, the running back came off the field after being chased off the field and ran into one of them? So it was a hazard of the game. She wound up suing the team, and I believe the Patriots said, you know, we don't need this. Goodbye. And I thought at that time that would be a trend. And apparently it isn't. Apparently the teams feel that the cheerleader is a vital part of marketing. I don't understand that at all. Now, at the risk of being called a fag, I don't like cheerleaders. Never have. At the risk of being considered not one of the guys, at the risk of being considered slightly fey, gay, queer, queen, Peter Puff, Pull Smoke, I don't dig cheerleaders. And the reason why I don't is because, for reasons like this, they're more trouble than they're worth. They have nothing to do with the game. And if you have to have a cheerleading squad to draw attention to your team, then obviously the team's not putting the product on the field that you hoped that they would. And if the National Football League thinks that they're vital, then the NFL's entire product is in trouble. Now, when I used to go see the Rams play when they were at Anaheim, before they went to St. Louis and got good, they had their cheerleaders, and it was pathetic. It was really pathetic. I mean, never mind the Ram mascot with the imbecilic-looking horned helmet. And and they had a guy twirling a flaming baton. I think, do they really need this, man? Now, I know there were all kinds of drunks that were 3-4 rows up, just juiced and just loving it, man. They had the binoculars on these babes, and they're yelling at them, and... You know, whatever, I wasn't there, you know, I mean, I was not there to watch that, I was there to watch the game. And now they got the gall, and I say gall and I underline that, the gall to sue. I guess they have a right, because if their privacy is being invaded that way in a very garish manner, okay. But why don't they get rid of the cheerleaders? Get rid of the cheerleaders, because the cheerleaders are meaningless. They're a pain in the ass. They are a superfluous to the game, and I wish them well. They're only getting $15 a game, half of them, so it isn't like we're depriving anybody of a real serious living. It's just something that is not a part of the game of football. You don't need to be looking at it, do you? Oh, look at this. Everybody's staring at me now like I'm some kind of a faggot. Thank you. Well, maybe I am. Maybe I am gay. Want to make something out of it? Okay, I don't like women, never have liked them, and I don't want them at my football games. I want to watch the guys. I want to watch them running around in their tight pants with their great-looking asses, and I don't need any women, you know, messing that up. So maybe I am gay. I like it. I like being gay. I like guys. And cheerleaders detract from my enjoyment of men. You see, as a football fan, I have a latent homosexual gene. I am latently queer in some way, so I just don't need any women there detracting, distracting, circumventing, circumnavigating, keeping me away from, steering me far clear of the game. and those Patriots, I thought it would be a trend that would never end. Get rid of all of the cheerleaders, and we're never going to have to deal with the ridiculousness of those antics on the sidelines again. Nobody that I know who's a real football fan cares whether there's cheerleaders or not. Okay, maybe I'm exaggerating. Hey, by the way, did you hear about the Atlanta Braves? Apparently they sold a block of tickets to a gay group that is supporting the gay Olympics. And there was a, did you hear about this, Craig? And there was a write-in campaign. They didn't want no gays at their ball games, and let's boycott the Reds or whatever the hell they're called. The Braves, excuse me. Now, I was down in Atlanta, and I remember when they were doing that whole tomahawk chuck, you know, that that Indian chant deal, when they were winning the, well, they never won a World Series. Well, they won one when they were almost winning World Series. And they had the tomahawk chop, and then they'd go into the series and choke like they just fold up like a cheap Chinese suitcase. Yeah, that Atlanta Braves. You're right. That's the team. First it was the Blue Jays, then it was the Yankees, then it was the Twins. And there ain't a team in the American League didn't beat the Braves. And I say this with all due respect, because I'm going to tell you something. Here's a question I got for you. What if you found out John Smoltz was gay? Now, I would never get a straight answer to that question from anybody having to do with boycotting Atlanta Brave games because they sold a block of seats to gay guys. I would never get a straight answer from anybody associated with them to the question, what if John Smoltz was gay? Because they aren't really baseball fans. And I don't mean that in some idyllic sense. I don't mean it in a very general sense. I mean specifically, they're not baseball fans. The baseball fans of Atlanta, because I know the people of that city, I used to go to the ball games there, they don't care. They don't care. But once again, we got two or three people screaming loud enough, and somebody turns it into a story. And they call themselves baseball fans. You're not a baseball fan. You aren't you? You know it, and I know it. You, what do you? You think it's like, you wouldn't know a strike from both of your balls. They won by 3 points. I mean, is it a point? No, it's a run. Oh, runs? You want something for that? No. The game? Oh, okay. Did you hear about that? Isn't that great? Politics and sports. Anyway, so what we need to do is get rid of all the gays and all the cheerleaders, and we got ourselves a ball game. 1-800-449-8686, number here on the Phil Henry Show. The number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD and picture disc vinyl is available at 877-616-PHIL. That's 877-616-PHIL. And if you spend $20 and $350 shipping and handling, you'll get it, babe. And you can pay for it by way of Visa, MasterCard, or check. And all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Let me direct you to the PhilHenryShow.com website. This is a tremendous thing. We're very proud of our new website, PhilHenryShow.com. If you go there, click on the link, and I'll just go to the page right now. Click on the link that says Get This. And if you click on that, that'll take you right over to a place where you can order not only the Best of the Year 2000 CD, you can order up Best of 99, Best of 98, the Best of 99 CD called Communism is Neat. That includes The Boys Are Back, Art Bell, Mock Spanic, Bobby Goes to Dachau, and more. Then the Best of 98, A Chilling Day for Talk Radio. That includes Dion from Phelan, Cat Sex, Burning Bugs, The Great Ruth from Anaheim, and more. Plus, there's two secret tracks on our Best of 98, and one of them is really cool. Are there the two or there's one? One of them is Captain Dale Dye, the great former Marine Corps captain and currently the advisor to such films as Saving Private Ryan. There's a secret track of him on there. Then, of course, our Best of 97, still on the air, available for purchase online as well. And that includes the ever-popular All You Can Eat Negro and many, many more, and a secret bonus wedding track when Maria and I got married in the summer of 97. Don't delay. Order them all. Order them as a gift pack. Give them away for Christmas. You won't get a break on the price. Just order all four of them, and you can do that by way of the Best of the Phil Henry. You can call either 877-616-7445, or you can order online by just clicking on all the little links and things. That'll take you over to My Friend's Place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And just click on the little deal there that says Buy Phil's CD. And you got it, Jim. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as falling right off a freaking log on your rear end. Order it up today. Get them. And all of the money goes to My Friend's Place. And they got a nice resource center over there on Hollywood Boulevard as a result of your great generosity. And over the last 4 or 5 years, $500,000 you've helped us raise for My Friend's Place. Okay, we got Bud Dickman's weekly top 10 coming up next on The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bud Dickman on Phil Henry Show. This is a weekly top 10. Now, before I start our weekly top 10, I'm going to drink some goblin juice that I made up in my basement. Hold on for a minute.
Oh, that's good. Yes, that's very good. All right, then. Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10. I'm Bud Dickman, and this is number 10. Now, this is a song I think really, it begins to, it creates for me, oh, let's hear it, shall we? That's all there is. That's it. And that's number 10. No, seriously, I can't believe that all they did was that part. Let me just, here, let me throw up the goblin juice.
Okay, now, I swear to God, that's all. That's number 10. Here it is. Number 10, J-Lo and I'm Real. There it is. Now, here's number 9. Number 10 was, let me drink the goblin juice.
I'm sorry, I really am. Jagged Edge with Nelly was number 10, and it goes a little bit, so this is Jagged Edge, this is number 10. And then, of course, we go to number 9, and this is J-Lo. And that's it. That's all it is. It's a new trend in music, and it only goes through... Hold on for a minute.
New trend in music. Just go 2 seconds, song in. And number 8 is a song that we debuted on a Bud Dickman show, Train, Drops of Jupiter. There it is. Train, and isn't that nuts? I mean, what is going on anyway? But that's what the disc jockeys like now. They just want to sound, it's only about, I don't know, like 3 seconds long. So let's recap, shall we, what we've heard so far in the Dead Bit and the Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10. At number 10 is J-Lo, I'm Real. And then at number 9, or excuse me, at number 10 is Jagged Edge with I'm Real. Or Where the Party At. And then at number 9 is Jennifer Lopez with I'm Real. And then at number 8, of course, is a great song by Train called Drops of Jupiter. And that's it. That's the first 3 songs. Now let's go to number 7. This is a band that I think is really going to do some damage. I think they debuted on a weekly top 10 at number 10, and now they're number 7, and then they'll go to number 6, and then they'll go to number 1, and then they'll go to number 2, and then finally they'll go back to number 5, and then, well, never mind. This Alicia Keys, We're Falling, number 7. The guy who says number 7 sick this week, so I gotta say, number 7.
Sometimes you make me blue.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I feel good.
Yo, Bud.
Yeah, Bud Dickman.
Man, this is crazy, baby. I love this. I love this, yeah. You know, this is all... Man, man.
I know, homeboy.
Yeah.
Bitchin'. Keep it down, will you? just kidding. Hey, buddy, let that girl up, huh?
Just when I think I'm taking more than what a fool, I start falling back in love with you.
That's Alicia Keys with the distinction of being the first record in 6 weeks on the Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10 that I like. Falling, Alicia Keys. At number 6... Well, at number six, we're back to songs I hate. Number six is All or Nothing. Fortunately, this was at number four last week. So next week, probably number 11, since it's Bud Dickman top 10, it not be on top 10.
When he's been on your mind, that distant look is in.
Gay meter, gay meter, Bud Dickman gay meter.
It's over.
This band think they call O-Town, I call them Old Face.
I choose to live.
Old Face. Ow!
Sharing this relationship gets older, older. You know I fight for you, but how can I fight someone who isn't even there? I've had the rest of
all right, you're on the Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10. What can I do for you?
Yeah, man, I want to hear Jagged Edge with Nelly. That was a really bad jam, man. Play that one more time.
Sure will. Here's Jagged Edge. What'd you think?
That's beautiful. Thanks.
When you reach the bottom, it's now or never. Easy.
Oh, shut up. Okay. At number six, All or Nothing with O Face. Now we go to number five. And let's just hope it's a song I like. Nope. No such luck. This is Usher. This was a fallen. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Listen.
I know he was. I didn't know you were talking.
About you.
I didn't know you were singing either.
My eyes.
You call that singing?
The same thing that makes.
This is Usher, and You Remind Me.
Kind of hard to explain, but girl, I'll try.
By the way, next week, Usher will be in a special triple bill with Bellboy and Carhop.
Sort of looks just like you. She even smiles just.
We asked Usher about how his group got formed.
Well, like I told you, we were hanging out with Bellboy and Carhop. And also, I was Car Wash Man was also one of the cats. So we had solid. I'm the only one that made it, though.
What about Car Wash Man? He didn't?
Nah, he couldn't do it. Bellboy was not bad, Bellhop was fine, Carboy, Carhop, all that crap. But see, Usher, that's just one word, not two.
Yes, that's Usher with You Remind Me of How Much I Despise This Song.
This is why I just can't get with you.
Let's go down to the Bud Dickman request line.
Yeah, I want to hear Jagged Edge with Nelly, man.
Yeah, what do you want to hear?
Yeah, play Nelly, man!
And what do you want to hear?
I'd love to hear Jagged Edge.
All right, well, you got it on a Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10. We played a song what you want to hear. Here it is, Bud Dickman's request of the night, Where the Party At with Jagged Edge with Nelly. There it is. That's Jagged Edge with Nelly. We'll be back with more of the Bud Dickman Weekly. Oh, you're still singing? I didn't. Nobody really noticed you over there.
This is why I just can't get.
Out of hell with it. I like this one better. What a jam. It's the Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10 coming back in just a minute after we do some commercials. We'll be right back. And we're coming right back pretty soon after we do it. Right after this.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
This Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10. I forget what song I'm supposed to play, so let me just play number 10 again. I like that. Okay, now then, moving around. Oh, we got a phone call? Yes.
Yeah, Bud, man, how come you blew through J-Lo's song like it's nothing, man? Like, I want to hear that song.
She sucks.
No, she's got a great-looking ass, man. I want to hear that song.
Wait a minute, I'm already up at number four, and she was all back down number nine.
I don't give a crap where she's at, man. Play the song.
I can't. I'm at number four. For me, play number nine, me half work my way down.
Well, then work your way down, you dumbass. Just get down there and play that damn J-Lo song.
All right. God. Now I'm Bud Dickman, now me got to work my way down. Okay, let's see. That's number four. Here, number five. And now down to number six.
Okay, there's number 7. Okay, there's number 8. Okay, and now here's J-Lo, number 9.
Yeah, that's it, man. Don't be such a damn hot ass. This is great.
This Jennifer Lopez.
I know it, man. I'm the one that told you to play it.
I'm just announcing a song.
Just shut up. Called you on the phone. Said I'm coming through. Hope you're all alone. Cause I got plans for you.
We could stay at home. Or dance and hang all night. Hey, seriously, what do you think's better? Do you think...
Oh, come on, man. Don't ruin this song.
No, really. Don't you think this song sucks compared to this song? Or you like this song?
I like J-Lo, man. I'm singing, man. Her ass is singing. Back up, get it up, back up, get it up. That's butt music, you know?
Whatever, right? Me not know.
This is a Bud Dickman. Make it or break it.
Do you like this song? Or this song? The way your ass looks good, your big fat rear end, your huge, enormous ass.
All right, hold on. Hold on. Turn it off.
What do I do now?
You know, I've been in the other office listening to this crap. You're out of control.
What me do?
What me do? You're playing Jennifer Lopez out of order. Was it number 9?
Yeah.
Well, it's 10 minutes to the hour, man. How can you still be at number 9? And then you got her on there with, I like your big fat butt.
Me sorry.
What do you mean, me sorry? Say I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Just play it right, bud. That's all I ask. Just play it right. What number you at?
I forget.
Oh, great. Bud Dickman's weekly talk. Well, you got to be, it's 9 minutes to the hour. You got to be,
number.
What is this, number 9 here?
Yeah, it's 9.
Well, we know it's not this one, okay?
What about this?
Well, what number is this?
Number 8.
Well, where were you, man?
I think I was at number 4.
Well, then go to number 4.
Well, but I gotta play it.
Play what?
I gotta work my way back up.
Well, then work your way back up and get to number 4. Now, where were you?
My number 9, here.
Good, fine, great. Is that that's Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah.
Now go to number 8.
Are you here? Here, number 8. Now, go back up to number 7. Now, we'll go to...
Wait, so what do you got to keep doing that for, man? Just go up to the number, will you, bud?
No, I got to do an order. That's a weekly top 10.
Go ahead.
Okay, now, here's number 6. Now you're number 5. Okay, and now on a Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10, number 4. Okay, now that...
Wait a minute, you gotta play the whole song, don't you?
Oh, yeah, okay.
While he was steaming, I was steaming in the Beamer, just steaming. Can't believe that I call my men cheating. So I...
Boy, this sucks.
...to make him pay for it all. So I went to Neiman Marcus on a shopping spree.
Great. Number 3. There's number 3. Now,
wait a minute. You're not getting away with that. Play the whole song.
I said it's number 3.
Just play the whole song.
Here, number 3.
What's the name of it?
Let Me Blow Your Mind, Eve featuring Gwen Stefani. That number 3. Now,
play the whole song. That ain't it, man. Play it.
I'm sorry.
Now, I'm going into the office, and I want to hear the whole thing.
Yo. Yo. Drop your glass.
He's gone now. Here's number 3. Okay, now, here's number 2.
We've got a new voice.
Okay. Now, let's go.
Come here for a minute, man.
I thought you were in the office.
I was in the office. I turned the radio on. I'm listening to your crap. Have we got a flashback from yesterday, Craig? Get it lined up, okay?
Wait a minute. Even Weekly Top 10 never have no flashback.
Well, we're doing it today, because you're butchering the hell out of it. I got to work my way back to number 9. And what's up with you and that Gwen Stefani track? Play the whole song, okay?
That is a whole song, I swear to God. Dude, it's all...
bullcrap, because I heard it last week. Well, you're right, it does suck, though, doesn't it?
See, I told you.
Okay, forget it.
Bill Henry. Flashback.
Yeah, where'd you get this princess at?
Yeah, he's a...
Hello?
Yeah, well, we're talking about you, Dean. I'm sorry it's rude, but we're talking about you. Talking about your seminar and treating Italian-Americans...
Yeah, Italian.
We're talking about Italian-Americans and
I'm Italian. Name. What the hell? Where you get off telling me what I should think and this thing? Well, you don't know. You're not Italian.
I'm not telling you what you think, but if you came to our Living in America
oh,
seminar...
Oh, yeah, so I'll be first
violated,
in line, pal. Sure.
Feeling violated by watching The Sopranos, we'd help you, Marco.
How would I get feel? How do I get feeling violated by something that happens every day? Shut up! I'm talking to you.
It's not even the experience.
This guy, he don't want to listen. He don't want to.
It's not even that.
Well, you let the guy ask a question.
But no. See, because Marco,
let me tell you something. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York.
You're
Hey, I'm talking to you. How are you going
to
tell me what
I
do day in and day out? You're going
to
tell me how I'm supposed to feel?
We could give you a shoulder to cry on.
Oh, this Christ! You give me a tissue too, will you, pal? You're crazy. You're a friggin' nut.
Why do you say that?
Because I listen to the way you're talking.
Do you know that you're hurting me?
I'm hurting
you. Wait.
Oh, my God.
Wait, hold on.
I just put the Italian sausage up to your bonjour, you know?
Marco.
Yes.
After watching Sopranos, don't you feel a little bit of pain?
No, I enjoy the show. It's a TV show, for Christ's sakes. Come on.
But don't you understand that it does do things to you as an Italian-American that are negative? It paints you in a light where you're a hood. Come on.
Dean, you're getting a little...
This guy's a fruit.
Don't you feel like you should put some
Phil, let me tell you something.
Can I ask Marco one question?
Sure, will you ask anything?
When you watch The Sopranos, you don't...
I'm writing all this down, too, by the way. Go ahead.
You don't feel like applying lubricant?
Are you... Oh,
lubricant?
Hey. Oh, my, no.
Lubricant.
I'm asking an honest question. I could have held back with that, but I wanted to know.
I think that's what you get off the show. Were you enjoying it? That's what you think? Come on. It's a TV show, for Christ's sakes.
Let me jump in with a sane question here, if I could.
Yeah, this guy, what the hell?
No. I'm asking some questions that I think are really important.
Your questions don't make sense. What the hell?
We're aware of the fact, number one, that there were some Italian-American groups that were upset with The Sopranos. One of them was the governor of New Jersey or something who didn't want any filming, done in New Jersey because they said it was a stereotype. And there have been other groups, all right? But to go from that extreme to the other extreme of saying all Italian-Americans at some time or another have done jail time?
Exactly. It took Italian sources up there. Yeah, come on.
Well, if I said that, I'm really sorry.
Did
I say that? I'm sorry. What I meant to say, Marco, is that some Italian Americans have done jail time, and not all of them have taken a sausage.
Let me tell you something. Italian Americans, along with everybody else, bit the backbone of this freaking world. And I'm trying not to curse.
Scrubbing blood out as blood stains on your underwear.
Sure.
Bill Henry. Flashback. 1-800-449-8686. Back in a minute.